Castle Inn, I guess, right? Well, or that was the Foxhole Inn.
That was the Foxhole Inn. But
this amateur radio roundtable is brought to you in part by ICOM America.
Okay, hello out there to everybody in radio land and also internet land. You're watching amateur radio roundtable. I'm trying to get all these levels set right here. You're watching amateur radio roundtable. This is a ham radio show. We're on every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock Central. Or 0200 UTC on Wednesdays, if you can figure that out. Some people have a little problem with that. But we're going to have some fun tonight. We've got a special show. Dave Kessler is back with us, KE0OG. He's been out singing. We'll get to talk to him about that in a little while. Maybe he'll sing something for us on here. If he doesn't, I'm not going to believe he was actually out singing. But anyway, we got a de-expedition on here tonight. But first, let's go to Dave Kessler. And let me just say hi to Dave and welcome him back. Where did Dave go? Dave is gone. Dave. All right, guys, what happened to Dave? Look at this. Adrian, what happened to Dave? Let's see. What happened? What happened to Dave?
I think he might have, maybe he's having internet issues or something because
right.
He's completely...
Let me call him back. Just okay, everybody, stand by. I'm going to add Dave back on the call. We're going to add Dave back on the call here. Let's see what happened with Dave. All right. Well, okay. Let's cross our fingers and hope Dave gets back. There's Dave. Hey, Dave, where'd you go, man?
Here we are. Oh, sorry, man. The Skype dropped.
Yeah, well, I was talking about you singing on a show, and I thought you might have hung up, you know?
Well, I'm ready. Maybe Adrian can join me.
We'll all right.
Sing happy birthday to Tom here.
Happy birthday to who?
Oh. Yeah, you ready? Happy birthday to you.
Who? To who?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, Tom.
Happy birthday to you.
Wait a minute. Wait. Whose birthday is it?
Tom's.
Which Tom?
You.
I don't think so.
It's your birthday.
I don't think it is.
Well, then, it's your own birthday.
Yeah, y'all have to take it back. My birthday's in February. My birthday's in February.
Well,
okay, so guys,
the first ones to wish you a happy birthday.
Well, yeah, that's an early one. Okay, well, you know, hey, we did get Dave to sing. That's the main thing. I was trying to get Dave to sing for us because he claims he's been out doing some Christmas music. Is the reason he hadn't been on the show. All right. Well, anyway, hey, Dave, welcome back, Dave. Glad to have you. And we got a special group of people there. Look, and we're taking them away from working all those contacts. So let's jump straight over to Adrian there, and let's just jump in this thing and get started so we won't interfere too much with them. Let me bring Adrian in here. There we go. Adrian, how you doing, man?
Hello. Hello from Bhutan. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing good, and boy, it looks, you guys are all dressed up. You dress up like that when you operate?
Not really. We dress up like that for breakfast.
Okay. I thought maybe you dressed up for the show. Yeah, okay. Well, cool, man. Well, everybody knows, and we've advertised this on our all of our social media, that we're going to be talking about the de-expedition there in Bhutan, and let you tell us all about it, man. So Let's jump back up here. I'm gonna put the camera back on you. And why don't you introduce the team? You want to talk to tell us who where you are and introduce the team?
Yes. Hi, Tom. First of all, good evening there and good morning here from the country of Bhutan. We're a five-member of the expedition team here. And I will pass the microphone on to each of the team members so they can present themselves. I am Kilo Oscar Ray Sugar Charlie Alpha. My name is Adrian, and I am from New York. And our team leader is Zorro, and I'm going to pass down the microphone to him.
Okay.
Hold on.
Hello, Zorro. Hi. How are you? Hi, Zorro.
Yeah, nice. Yes. I'm Zorro, and nice to meet you, all of you.
Zorro, and, Zorro. Yeah. I have a question. Do you have a whip?
Yeah.
Do you have a whip?
Whip?
A whip.
What's the meaning of whip?
Whip. Do you speak Spanish? Latigo.
Latigo? No. No puedo, hablar con español, no, por favor, mi amigo.
Okay. No, okay. No. Well, hey, I'm used to, the only Zorro I knew had a whip.
I see.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He was a movie star, Zorro, the movie star.
Yeah. Yes, and the Max of Zorro, something like that. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The
okay. Well, tell us about yourself.
Okay. I'm a leader of this group, CESAR and FCC, and supporting. For all over the world, that for children, right? Yeah, I'm a leader of this group on the radio team, and then we are supporting not only radio but also others, you know, for children. We have been that in Bhutan. I have been supporting since 1993 for a long time. When that time first, I got the first authorized license in Bhutan, JH1AJT/A5. Long time ago. So, but now still I have been keeping the continuing the to support for the kids and the education and the sports and some others, not only Bhutan but also Echo 3 and Eritrea, actually Zulu and the other countries, Bangladesh and Cambodia, some others, you know. So anyhow, I am very happy to be on their TV, your TV.
So all right. Great. We're glad to have you. So glad.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. Oh, anyhow, and then that's all my introducing. So pass to the who? Okay, back to you. Oh, okay. Next, and Max. Go ahead, Max.
All right, Max. Very good. Hello, Max.
Okay, thank you. Hello, good morning from the beautiful country Bhutan. I am Max. I am Oscar November 5 Uniform Radio, and I am from Belgium, and I am glad to be on your show.
All right. Well, we are so glad to have you. And I'm amazed. You know, I would think a de-expedition where all the guys are just working all the time, you wouldn't shave, you know, you'd have wrinkled clothes on. You know, but you guys just really look good for the show tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, man. I mean, beautiful, man. This is the best looking the expedition I've seen.
Oh.
Hey, where in Belgium are you from?
I am from the province of Flemish Brabant, and that is near to Brussels, approximately 50 kilometers northeast of the capital.
Okay. All right. Well, I've been to Brussels many times. Beautiful country there.
Okay, thank you. I hope you like the beer in Brussels.
Oh, yeah. Well, I haven't been in a while. Hey, let me ask you something. How is the propagation right now? Are you guys working the United States much, or is it pretty bad propagation?
Propagation is not really good, and we are in the middle between the mountains, and sometimes it's really strange conditions. Sometimes the band is open for a while, you have a huge pileup, And 2 minutes later, the band is complete dead. So the conditions are really strange in Bhutan between the mountains here.
They're strange here, too, even on 40 meters. Like you said, the signal will be there for 10, 15 seconds, and then the person will be gone. So I understand you were working the east coast of the United States, I think, earlier. Are you getting into the central U.S., or is it mainly the coast?
I think you must ask that later to Adrian, because okay. He is most of the times CW operator and also champ. I am here on the SSP operator together with Franz. And Franz did work this morning some stateside stations on 40 meter, but I'm not sure what kind of states he did work.
Okay, well, great, man. You guys look happy. You look happy. You look like you're eating well, and you're having a good time. That's what counts, right? Good time.
Yes, we have a really great time. Bhutan is a very nice country, and I'm very happy to be here together in the team with Zoro. And I'm very happy that Zoro invites me for the expedition.
Well, all right. Thank you so much. Who's next there?
Okay, I will give the headset to Franz now.
Okay.
No, it's worse to be here.
Okay.
Hello, how are you today?
Yeah. Hello, good evening and good morning here from Bhutan. This is, my name is Franz. Call sign is Delta Juliet 9 Zulu Bravo. Living near the city of Freiburg in the southwestern part of Germany, close to the French border. And also I'm very, very happy to be here with the team. And this is my fifth trip to Bhutan with JH1 AJT and Echo 21 Echo Italy Charlie. Very happy to be here, and greetings to you and for your TV show over there.
Well, great. Thank you. What do you operate mostly? What mode are you operating there?
Mostly operating sideband, uh-huh, and a little bit FT8.
Okay. All right. Well, very good. Franz, let's see. Now, this expedition, I think, goes until December 20. Is that right?
Yes, right.
December 20. So people will still have a chance to work you. Let's see. Today in the U.S., today is the 17th. So you've got 3 more days there. So yeah. is it a big job? Is it a big job to take everything apart and then go home with it? How long does it take you to pack everything up?
Maybe 4 to 5 hours to packing up. And on Friday, we have to leaving around 1 o'clock p.m. from here to the airport in Paro. It takes approximately 1 hour by car.
Uh-huh.
And to be right at home for Christmas time.
You'll be home for Christmas. Okay. So I guess this is the plane you ride. Is that the only carrier that comes into Bhutan?
Yeah.
So you don't have much choice of who you select to ride on, do you?
It's always interesting to be here.
Yeah.
I give the headphone to the next one is Echo 21, Echo Italy Charlie from Thailand.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Franz. Hello.
Hello,
how
Tom.
Are you?
This is Chan, Echo 21, Echo India Charlie.
Okay. That's Chan, right?
Champ, C-H-A-M-P.
Oh, okay.
Champ is my name.
All right, well, very good.
From Bangkok, Thailand.
All right. Thailand would be a good DX position, good DX place too. Have you been on any DX expeditions from Thailand?
Uh-huh. Great.
Okay. What modes are you operating mostly?
I'm mostly on CW and FT8, and sometimes on SSB.
Okay, CW. Are you pretty fast on CW?
Yes.
Yeah, you're fast, huh? Well, hey, if you're going to work me, it's going to have to be a little slower. You know, you have to slow down for some of us, okay?
It's okay.
So you working CW, you must really be skilled in CW, because people that don't like CW, I don't think you'd put them in that job. So what's your average top speed that you operate CW? You must be a CW operator.
Yes, top speed about 63 watts
per minute. Oh, man. Come on. 63 words per minute?
Yes. Yes.
Or are you sure that's not hour? It's minute. 63 words per minute. Wow. Okay.
Those are metric words per minute.
Yeah, I was going to say that, Dave. 63, man. That's faster than some teletype I used to work. You know?
Yes.
Wow.
It's maximum speed, but normally using for about 40 words per minute is normal.
Wow, man. I tell you what, champ, that's amazing. And but I tell you something, you're going to make probably, with the conditions they are, you'll probably do much better on CW than you will on sideband.
Yes, I think CW must a bit better for the low band, and should be work for USA in the sunrise and sunset time. I mostly do on 80 meter.
Yeah, yeah. Well, people will get through, and you know, the thing is that a lot of people complain they don't hear you or they can't work you. The same thing happened with Heard Island, the expedition. But if you study, and you got a little operating skills, a lot of times you can make contact, you know, and that's what it takes. It takes patience to work you guys.
Yes.
Oh, have y'all got some nice you got some nice QSL cards made?
I think yes.
Okay. Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. I'll be looking forward to seeing your card there. Okay, well, very good, champ. Thank you so much, man, for coming on with us tonight. And we're going to be listening for you guys the next 3 days.
Okay, and thank you very much. And I pass the microphone to Adrian. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, champ. All right. So, Adrian, man, you guys look like you're having all the fun. Now, Adrian, you're always gone on the expeditions. I think last time we had you on a show, you were in Christmas Island or somewhere. Do you remember that?
No, actually, the last time we spoke, I was in Somalia.
Well, I was going to say Somalia. And that's one I would not go to. Believe me, I would not go to Somalia. But I think we picked you up in Somalia.
It's definitely not a tourist destination.
We picked you up like in Christmas Islands. You go everywhere, man. I mean, do you have a job? Do you work somewhere?
Yes, I do work.
Well, how do you have time? How do you have time for all these expeditions?
I am an IT consultant, so a lot of my work is done.
Oh, man. IT consultant. So, okay, I got it now.
So if I work from New York or from Bhutan, it makes no difference.
You get, let's say you get 10 months off, right? You work 2 months and off 10. Okay. I was in IT myself for 35 years, and I know what you're talking about. Hey, let's talk about, you sent me some pictures. And, hey, Dave, yes, if you see something interesting, jump in here. But we're going to show some pictures that Adrian sent us. And for all you people out there wanting to know where Bhutan is, it's right there. There's this great big red arrow painted on the mountains there. And if you fly over, it's right at the tip of that arrow right there. And you can see it's just kind of, northwest of India there. So, that's where we are tonight. So let's see, I've got some pictures here. I don't know what order they're in, but I asked you if you guys were eating good. It looks like to me you got a lot of food laying out. Tell us about that, Adrian. Is that
okay?
Is that like lunch? Well, is that lunch and dinner?
See, when you travel to a lot of remote places, you tend to miss the food that you have at home. You have the excitement of trying the local foods, and that's fine for a few days, but then you know, you would miss some of the stuff from home. So Zora prepared a variety of foods brought from Japan, different things for lunch, dinner, whatever. You know, you can go and pick up whatever you like. You know, usually you operate for very long hours and you might get hungry in between the meals and you just pick up something from there, or you can have any of that stuff at breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever, you know. It's
okay,
so well, that's what it is.
That's cool. Now your location, let's see, that's the wrong picture. In your location there, is there a McDonald's or anything close by?
The only thing close by here are mountains.
Is that all? Just mountains,
you can
huh?
see it all around.
Where we got some pictures of the mountains here in a minute, I think. Let's see what this is. Is this where you're located right now?
Yes. So basically, the expedition is, let's say, headquartered in the college here in Bhutan. So we are in the campus, and this picture shows the entrance of the main campus in the university. It's basically where the Radio Shack is and all the antenna towers and everything. So this is the entrance, the main entrance of the college, okay. Royal College, Bhutan oh, okay. Royal College.
All right. Well, I think, let's see, here's a picture of, this must be you guys setting up.
Yes, so one of the things that the team is doing here in Bhutan is improving the Radio Shack here at the Royal College. So every time the team or, you know, operators come in and visit, they also add new antennas, new equipment, and so forth. Here in the picture is Franz and I installing vertical antenna for 160 meters. It was an addition that helped us put some North American stations in the 160 meter band. So that's what we're doing there, installing a vertical antenna.
Okay. And here's another one. This is your team there. Looks like you're getting ready to do a lot of work there. Now, what's the temperature? How's the weather there right now? It looks a little cool.
Yes, it's sunny, but very cold. Actually, it snowed a couple of days, and this picture was taken when the snow settled a little bit. You can see a bit of a snow in the background. It was a lot of work to install the antennas, so we had help from the local young people. Some of them were interested in ham radio and asking questions about what we're doing, how we're installing antennas. But it's a lot of work and it's very cold for us, and having help from the local young people is really comes in very handy to get, because in addition to installing antennas, you also want to use them and operate, so you don't want to spend the whole time here, all the 10 days, just installing antennas. So that's in the picture. We have a couple of Bhutanese guys that are helping us. And Champ there with the back in the picture is explaining what the plan is and what needs to be done next.
Yeah. Hey, I pulled up a picture on a Facebook group here. Is this where you guys are right here?
Yes, basically one of the days we went to visit the town, let's say the capital city, Thimphu. It's a theoretically a city, but more of a town. It's just 2 kilometers long. And from the town, we took a picture of the place that we were actually staying, and that's, I think, what's on that picture,
okay.
A college. In this picture, after a day of work in the evening, we all got together and took a group picture inside. It was too cold outside to do anything, so we decided to take a picture together with the local young people that helped us set up the antennas. You see there on the right in the picture is our team leader, Zoro, that made it all possible.
Okay.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I want to mention is our call sign is Alpha 50 Bravo Oscar Charlie, which stands for Bhutan Olympic Committee. One of the main reasons Zorro is here is to help the Bhutanese sport people participate into the Tokyo Olympics in 2020. And that's why we are using the special call signs. In addition to that, Zorro was kind enough to make arrangements to get me and Max and myself Bhutanese call signs, which are not easy to get. But here in the picture is Max smiling with the with the license in his hand. It's a license with the personal call sign. What is it? Alpha 5?
Uniform Radio.
Okay, Alpha 50 Uniform Radio. Alpha 52 Uniform Radio. And that's a picture of the license, and he's still smiling. He was trying to say something, but couldn't.
Okay. Uh-oh, that's not good. Everybody turn your head. Okay. Turn your head sideways, okay?
Yes, and this picture is our driver. I think his name is Guzman. I'm having a hard time pronouncing the names of the towns and people here. It's a totally different language than what we're used to in Europe or U.S.
Actually.
But he is a very nice guide and driver for us. He took us in town because we're about 15-20 minutes driving from the town of Thimphu, the capital city. So the driver is, we took this picture because it shows him in the local garment, the local outfit. This is how Bhutanese people dress, and that's how you see them in town.
Cool.
He's always smiling and telling us about the different customs and what's going on. You know, Max and I are the first time in Bhutan, so for us, it's everything is new and certainly unusual.
Yeah. Well, my director just told me that picture is correct there. He's standing on the side of a mountain. That's what it is.
Yes.
And there you guys are. This is probably, maybe just getting there, maybe airport.
Yes, this is the first picture that we took as a team. Basically, it's we are at the starting point, which is the Bangkok airport. That's the meeting point for the team. That's where we met. We came from different parts of the world. You know, I came from U.S. Champ came from Thailand, and Max from Belgium, Franz from Germany, and of course Zoro from Japan. So we are a real international team. We met at the airport, and we are getting ready to for the first flight to Bhutan. For the flight to Bhutan from Bangkok to Paro.
All right. Look at there. They look happy.
Yes. Like I said, Zorro is busy with meetings almost every day, making arrangements for the different projects he has. Like he was explaining earlier, he's here in official capacity. I think official consultant for Bhutan for the Olympics in Tokyo. And here is in a picture with his assistant, helping him with back-to-back meetings all day with the different Bhutanese officials, you know, basically getting things done. This is the airport where we land. This is a very, we took this picture because you rarely see this type of view and call it an airport in the same time. You're surrounded by mountains, and the plane drops from 11,000 feet to about 3,000 after it crosses the Himalayan mountains, which is about 8,000 meters. And once you arrive, you see the airport. For me, from New York, this is especially unusual because airport means crowded places, lots of people trying to figure out where to go, what gate, what terminal. But here, basically, the airport was waiting for us to take pictures. This is the Bhutan airline. This is the plane that brought us here. Currently, there are only, I think, 28 pilots certified to fly in Bhutan. It's a very tough landing strip because you basically drop down from 11,000 feet, and then you have 11,000 meters, and then you have the high mountains, and you have a very short airstrip. Only certain planes and pilots are certified to land, and then once you land after roller coaster landing, you're happy that you're on solid ground. And
all right,
we took this picture with a nice Bhutanese flag on the tail of the flight of the Royal Bhutan Airlines.
Well, it looks like you're happy. Did you carry all that on the airplane, all that stuff?
Yes, like I said, every time the team arrives in here in Bhutan, we bring new equipment. We brought antennas and additional radios, and Zorro also donated, among other things, or I should say among many things, donated a telescope for the college students here so they can see the different stars or other objects on the sky. Remember that in Bhutan the sky is very clear, there's no light pollution, and if it's not cloudy you have a chance to see a lot of interesting objects on the sky. So that the big box there, it's I think the telescope, and then it's the different masts for antennas, and we brought and installed antennas for 160 meters, for 80 meters, and some other stuff. This is actually the shack and the lodging. You know, this is where we stay. These are the rooms, and to the right is the shack, the white part of the building. It's the shack, and this is a beam on top of the one of the beams that's installed on top of the shack. This was installed in prior trips by the Champ and other operators that were here before, and this is how it looks like. This is where we live and play.
All right.
This was what we installed in the first day, the 160 top-loaded vertical. It's using a spider mast, German mast, and pure German engineering. It took a whole day to install, but by eight people, but it works wonders. This is what helped us being heard all over the world. We had no trouble working Europe and Asia, and for the first time we were able to... where the team was able to make North American contacts. A lot of smiles now in North America. And if you walk on the street tomorrow and you see people smiling, that's why. Because they're able to make a contact with us, finally, at 160.
Well, living conditions look pretty good.
Yes, yes. Sorry for the mess. We give priority to installing antennas instead of cleaning our rooms. The rooms have two beds. Very cold outside, but very cozy inside. We don't really get to use those beds too much because we rather play on the radio. But sometimes you prefer sleeping on the bed instead of a keyboard. So that's basically how our room looks like. Every room has a picture of the... a king, if you see there, the king of Bhutan, and basically the royal family. It's very interesting. And like you said, cozy conditions, very nice. Basically, the Zorro and the college and the people here made an effort to feel for us to feel at home and focus on the important job, which is radio.
Well, and there's one thing you should not forget about.
Yes, what happens is one day we, I guess to be able to wake up a little bit, we took a walk for a few minutes around the campus, and, you know, it's very cold outside, as you can tell based on how Max is dressed up, and while we walk, we saw the sign and realized that we should be very careful. Basically, it says from here on, watch for the bear. And, you know, what kind of instructions, what to do when you see the bears. Needle to say, we turned 180 degrees and headed back to the shack. This is one of the juicy things on here. It's basically a very nice tower with a 40-meter beam and another 20, 10, and 15-meter beam. This does wonders. This is what we use to work North America. The most contacts that we did with North America were on 40 meters. and this is basically what was used. This was already installed here by the previous operators that visited the shack here in Bhutan.
Someone asked in the chat room, is English a spoken language there?
Yes, it is. A lot of people speak English, so we have an easier time explaining what to do. Obviously, not everybody speaks fluent English, and sometimes language is a barrier. But, hands and smiles usually fill in the rest of the words that we can't find. this is another view of the shack and the place that we actually live. And you see three more towers. All the three towers. It's a very nice view. You can see that we're surrounded by mountains. Operating from here, it's quite a challenge. It's basically we're like in a pot, we're surrounded by mountains, and whenever there's an opening, we take advantage of it. There are a lot of people that do not know our location, so they complain why we're not in the air all the time, or why we're doing FT8 so much. But it's a choice between doing FT8 or not doing anything, because you just sit and call secure for an hour, and then you say, okay, I either save my voice and make some contacts in FT8 or just go to sleep. So that's why almost a third of our contacts are on FT8, and the rest are in SSB and CW. This is the base of the 160 meter vertical. It has 16 radials, and took a lot of work to install, also mainly because it's very cold outside, and installing a 160 meter vertical, it's quite a challenge. So that's this is some picture of another antenna that Zoro brought in. It's an 80 meter rotatable dipole. We're able to do quite a few contacts with that. We had to install it. We learned a little bit of Japanese in the process by reading the manual or looking at the pictures. I don't know which one, but we were able to install this, and it works very nicely. This is the manual. It clearly shows what needs to be done. It was fun. It's part of the expedition to install antennas, and every team member has a skill. Some are very technical, some are very good operators, some know a lot of other things of how to mechanically install antennas. So you do a lot of work, but you also learn how to do things. This is another view of antennas, and you see there the 6 meter beam.
How is 6 meters? Are you making any contacts on six?
We haven't done any 6 meters that I know of, but what we did for the first time ever in Bhutan is 60 meters. We for the first time, were given a license, and for the first time, signals in 60 meters were heard in all over the world. We made quite a few contacts, I think about close to 1,000. We've got quite a few North American stations in the log in 60 meters, and we are getting a lot of good words from hams around the world because, being able to hear Bhutan for the first time on 60 meters. This is when we installed the 80 meter beam. The 80 meter dipole on the top of the building. Local help was really handy. They really know what they're doing climbing those towers, and. We provided instructions, but most of the work was done by the local help. And that's a picture of them, busy installing the 80-meter dipole. Okay. This is a picture of a rig expert analyzer. We took this picture because after installing the 60-meter beam, we looked at, I don't know if you can see very easily in the picture, but it shows an incredible peak, meaning that the antenna is so nicely tuned, and we're all very happy that we put the antenna and really resonated right there, because You know, when it's cold, you're very disappointed if you have to take it down, make changes, put it back up, and so forth. So, oh, yes, that's okay. Thank you for doing that. You see, this SWR is incredible. Actually, this was for the 80-meter dipole. You see, it resonates at 3550. Again, we're happy for that as well. We follow the instructions in the manual, put it up, and we measure it and say, voila, it really works. Okay, we don't have to take it down and adjust it anymore. So remember that this is done mostly outside. I took the instrument inside for a little bit because my hands are a bit cold, and I took the picture. And, you know, we're also happy with this. We're using this Big Expert analyzer, and these are really handy tools when you're you know, doing this kind of work in this type of environment. Well, this is a view from the plane. We took this view because this is part of the Himalayan mountain range. Is one of the peaks there is Everest. And it's very exciting when you're about maybe 20 to 30 minutes from the final destination in Bhutan. You look through the window and you see the Himalayan mountains and you say to yourself, oh, what a wonder that the plane actually crosses over the mountains and they look so close. You feel like, you know, you're going to bump into them. They're about 8,000 meters high and the plane flies around, I think, around 11,000. But it feels very close, as you can tell in the picture. We went into town on one of the days and we're all very excited. And one thing that you should know about Bhutan is that there are no stoplights anywhere in the country. In the busiest time in town in the country, capital city, this is a policeman directing traffic from this little booth. And his hand gestures looks like a dance where he, you know, tells the cars which way to go when we took pictures, because it's really funny for some for an outsider to see this kind of stuff, you know, the policeman doing all these gestures. It was funny for us, but they were all serious, so I guess this is the way it works.
Oh yeah.
These are some school children. We took the picture because it's really nice to see them in their school uniform. And they were curious about us, and we started a short conversation, and they let us take a picture. It looks very nice. It's certainly an unusual outfit, but that's the school uniform. Well, one of the interesting or the lucky things that happened to us is the fact that yesterday was the National Day of Bhutan. They had an impressive celebration, and this is a picture taken of the entrance of the stadium where the celebration took place. The King of Bhutan was present, and the show was impressive. They had, you know, an army the army was in a stadium, and then also a lot of singers and you know, quite a show, I should say. It's something totally unusual for us. So this is how they dressed up the entrance of the stadium.
Oh, that's cool.
One of the things that we see from our room, from our room window, is a huge statue of Buddha. So we asked the driver to take us and to see it up close, and we went on a visit. It's impressive. We were told that it was built by a Chinese firm about 3 years ago, so it's not an old construction, but it's huge. It's basically, it's like a, I should say, maybe a 10-story high building. Hard to tell just by looking at the picture, but we got some exercising done by walking up the stairs to see it up close. You know, the local people are very curious about what we're doing, and we took this nice picture in town, and with the little girl, she was she had a lot of energy. Another picture of some of the statues that surround the Buddha statue of the or the temples in the town of Thimphu or city. I keep saying town, but poor. This is something that you see all over in Bhutan. These are little flags with prayers. Basically, people hang them out all over the place, and they're supposed to be talking about the people that died, and they were supposed to be bringing luck to the ones that are. So that's why they hang all over the place in Bhutan. Flags with prayers, colorful flags with prayers.
I have no idea what this is. I'm guessing it's a mailbox. I have no idea. What is it?
Okay, so we went in the capital city there. One of the things that we visited was the local temple. Basically, this has turning wheels, bells, I should say.
Oh,
so
okay.
You turn the you use your hand to turn these bells, and as you turn them, the way they turn is supposed to bring you good luck. Yeah. So while we're there, we're praying for good propagation. That's why things worked out with us in North America.
Okay.
So that's what it is. It's a Buddhist belief where you basically turn these and for good luck.
Yeah. Okay.
They're rotating bells, basically.
Rotating bells. I got you.
I'm basically rotating them.
Now I'm very used to seeing this. That's bamboo, right?
Yes.
You know, I've made many trips to places like Hong Kong and places like that, and they run bamboo scaffolding up like 50 floors, man. They just tie it and run it up 50 floors. I don't see how they stand on it.
That's correct. That's why we took a lot of pictures of these construction buildings, and they're all like you said, the scaffolding is all made of bamboo. It's just amazing for us that the, I mean, I know the bamboo is a very strong wood material, but boy, when you see bamboo next to concrete, and, you know, your mind just doesn't want to believe that this is real. But that's how all the buildings, they are in construction, use bamboo scaffolding. It's amazing, but it certainly works. I see it with my eyes. Mm-hmm. So that's why we took this interesting picture of bamboo scaffolding. Uh-huh. A local picture of a Bhutanese in a local garment. Initially, we thought that he was dressed up because he was getting ready for the Bhutanese National Day, Bhutan National Day. But no, this is what they wear on a day-by-day basis. Yeah, very unusual and interesting.
All right. There you are. Looks like you're having fun. You have a snack. You're eating. Look at that.
Yes, there was a nice opening, and I didn't want to go to eat. And one of the teammates brought, I think it was breakfast. Or I don't know if it was lunch or dinner, I don't remember, but some brought some food. What was happening is the computer in the back does 60-meter FT8, and the computer in front does 160-meter FT8. So Champ took this picture and made a joke that it's an SO2R, basically, a single-operated two radios. Mm-hmm. I was doing two bands in the same time. So you see there the two ICOM radios, the 7300 to the left for the 60-meter band, and the ICOM, very nice radio, ICOM 7610 that we use for the heavy work of 160 meters. And then we have the two 1.3 kilowatt amplifiers from Expert Amps. The combination worked flawlessly for the duration of the expedition. We're still going to be here for two more days and hope to get more people in the log. When I see the propagation is pretty good at 160, I switch from FDA to CW. So we're able to do quite a few CW contacts even in the 160-meter band. The tough one.
Okay.
I have to mention, I don't know if it's obvious for most of the listeners, but the path from here to U.S. or North America is incredibly difficult. Basically, this is close to the antipode of North America. That means you cannot go farther than this. So the signals have to travel for quite a bit of a distance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 160 meters is already a tough bend. And if you add the distance on top of it, it really makes it a challenge. So, but at the beginning of the expedition, Zorro said, our goal is to put North America on the log. And that's why we're here. And we made it happen. The team really put an effort to get that.
All right.
This is Charlie playing with the radio. I think he just worked a few juicy stations, and he's still smiling. And he's using a 7300 the radio. Very good, nice radio and an Acom amplifier. And we all take turns of, you know, operating the radio. Not enough bends are open for us, for all of us to operate in the same time. So when we operate is because the bend is open. So that's why the smile there, the big smile.
Yeah.
This is Franz. He's operating. He's an excellent SSB operator. That's an Kenwood ES590 radio and Acom amplifier. Franz has been to more of the expeditions than I can count. And, you know, his, if you have a chance to look him up, you'll see he's been a part of some really famous the expeditions and very tough and far away destinations. And we are happy to have him here. He's an excellent SSB operator. He put a lot of stations in the log. And we told him to smile for the picture, but he was too serious. I guess
he's really serious there,
taking
for sure.
Advantage of some short opening.
Now why does he have three rotors?
Well, we have three towers and we have three rotors.
Yeah.
Max is also an SSB operator. He basically completes. But he does smile a lot. He's good at telling jokes, and here we actually, he is laughing because we were laughing at his joke. And yeah, we are having a lot of time, a lot of fun here.
Motor's
basically and fixed on one position, which is north. From here, North America and Europe are basically both towards north. So although we have very cool rotators, we rarely use them. Sometimes we have some VK or some Asian station complaining that we can't hear them, so we turn temporarily the beam towards Asia or Australia. And you know, they come in handy, but the beam for 40 meters is mostly towards Europe and North America.
Yeah.
Very easy to work Japan from here. Actually, one third of the contacts that we have, even on 160, are with Japanese hams.
All right, hey guys, we've been talking about the Bhutan D expedition here, and we got the whole team with us tonight, and we've already taken an hour of your time, and I know you guys are really, really busy there. Adrian, is there anything else you want to talk about as far as maybe any web links or Facebook groups or anything you want to mention?
Well, I would give the microphone to our team leader for a final word. He has a very interesting announcement to make.
Okay.
Then we can, you know, that will be the closing. And thank you so much for having us on the show. I'm going to pass the microphone to Zorro, our team leader, okay?
Okay, thanks.
So everybody, thank you very much for giving us such a kind of opportunity. I'm very happy. Finally, tell you that the most important things. Today, 18th at 07 ZMT at HLH, GL Wonchuk Ruby QRV, and on 20 meters sideband. So, using his call sign is Alpha 2 Bhutan, Alpha 2, Alpha 5, Bhutan, Alpha 5, Bravo. So, you know, this is very historical happening. So he really wants to be on the air. So then today, his own call sign, on his voice, and some others, you know, please look forward to getting him, okay? Thank you very much again.
Right.
Thank you very much for giving us a very good opportunity, okay?
All right. Well, thank you, Zulu. Thank you very much, and thank you to the whole team there.
Okay. Thank you very much. All
right.
Hold on, please.
So, Adrian, is there...
Okay, so what I wanted to mention is, and I don't know if you understood, so basically what's amazing is that today, with the call sign Alpha 5 Bravo, is the King's Brother, which will be on the air. So it's an incredible opportunity for hams around the world to have such a rare contract with Bhutan's King Brother, which will be visiting us, and he's been supporting our operation here the ham radio shack was installed here.
Well, I wish you told us earlier. Maybe we can get the King on our show. You know, ask the King if he wants to be on our show, and we'll record a special show with him. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. So remember, it's the King's Brother.
That's fine. If we get the King's Brother, then maybe he can ask the King to come in. Yeah.
Think it works that way.
You never know.
All right. Yes. Hey, is there any other websites or anything you want to our viewers to tune into? And you're operational for 3 more days, I think.
Yes, 2 more nights. We're going to be leaving. We're going to pack everything on Friday morning local time, and our flight is out of Bhutan is on Friday afternoon,
mm-hmm. okay.
local time.
All right. Well, hey, thank
and
you
we
so.
We are 6 hours plus GMT.
All right. Any Facebook or special website that you want to mention?
Well, the DX World.
The DX World, right?
Supporters and their website. Yeah. DX World has a lot of pictures, and Max took some professional pictures from the expedition here. And by tuning to DX World, you have a chance to see some amazing pictures there. That's probably from his Facebook account. If you turn exactly, that's the page. Some incredible pictures there, and I urge the viewers to take a look. To see some interesting sights from this far away and unusual country of Bhutan. Thank you for having us, 73s, and the team here wishes you the best.
Yes.
And hopefully we'll put as many of you as possible in the log. 73 from Bhutan.
All right. Well,
bye-bye.
We'll see you. Thank you so much.
Guys,
thanks so much for coming on. And, hey, it is recorded. You can watch it later. All your friends can see it from this point forward. It's out on YouTube. I may need to, since the video stopped and it restarted, I think it made it 2 different files. So I'll work on putting it all back together as one show. But it's going to be on YouTube on our channel, W5KUB. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you for having us, 73. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank
73.
You. All right. Oh, let's see. All right. There we go. Hey, Dave. So, Dave, what do you think about that, man? That was pretty interesting, wasn't it?
Well, it's quite fascinating that we can have a conversation with people in a very, very remote part of the world over the Internet. And they look like they're very committed to not only their D expedition, but also growing amateur radio in Bhutan.
Yep. Well, it looked like they were having a good time there, for sure. Dave, stand by a minute. We'll be right back with everybody here.
Okay.
Step up your gift-giving game this year and get your favorite ham an ICOM transceiver. ICOM offers a variety of high-performance and innovative products. Make the most out of this holiday season with one of these ICOMs today. Give your favorite ham the SDR they really want, the IC7610. This high-performance SDR has the ability to pick out the faintest of signals, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. It is a direct sampling software-defined radio that will change the world's definition of an SDR transceiver. It has RF direct sampling, an independent dual receiver, and dual digit select. Ham for the holidays, ICOM is changing the way entry-level HF is designed. The IC7300 is a high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with a compact design, and it will far exceed your expectations. It has RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, a large 4.3-inch color screen, a real-time spectrum scope, and an SD memory card slot. The IC9700 is at the top of every ham's wish list this holiday season. Keep your competitive contesting edge with faster processors, higher input gain, higher display resolution, and a cleaner signal. ICOM's IC9700 is the pinnacle of perfection. It has a 4.3 color touchscreen, dual watch operation and full duplex operation in satellite mode, real-time high-speed spectrum scope and waterfall display, and a voice recording playback function. Visit www.icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM radios.
LDG Electronics provides state-of-the-art antenna tuners for every amateur need. From QRP to QRO, fixed stations, portable and remote, an LDG tuner will match your radio to your antenna using our lightning-fast proprietary tuning algorithms. LDG is a family-owned and operated company dedicated to bringing innovative, quality products to the amateur market. All LDG products carry a full 2-year warranty that is fully transferable. Support is only a phone call or email away. We're always here to help you. Visit us on the web at ldgelectronics.com.
All right,
well,
we're back.
Picked up a lot of sponsors.
We're back with Dave Kessler, KE0OG. Ask Dave. See what I'm going to do. It's a little early, and I'm going to just set the phone line up in case some people want to call in and talk to us tonight. So, hey, Dave, tell us what you've been doing, man. Now, you took a leave of absence here to go do some singing or something. Now, when I heard you sing Happy Birthday, it didn't quite sound in tune, so I'm not so sure you really were out singing or not, man.
Oh, it was actually in several different keys at the same time. Oh,
okay.
Which is why it sounded that way. It's a new technique in music. I am a member, along with my wife, of the Ouray County Chorus. And that doesn't mean a big group. That means Ouray County's
there
only 4,500 people. So
in this conference.
The Ouray County Chorus is about, 15 people. Uh-huh. And we practice on Tuesday nights, unfortunately, and it's something that my wife and I can do together, one of the few things we can do together. So, we try to make it every year. We had our concert last Sunday, and we're going to be getting back together in February. So, fortunately, I've got a little time here for ham radio.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're back, and I hope you had a good time there with your musical stuff. And you do this every year, don't you?
Yeah, twice a year. We have a fall season and a spring season.
Okay. Well, hey, guys, we got the phone number. If anybody wants to call in and say hi to Dave and welcome him back, call in. Let's see. Hey, guys, just a quick announcement. I've got a number of QSL cards from you. I will be QSLing you guys as soon as I get my new cards in. They should be in the next week or so. I ordered 1,000 cards, and looking forward to getting those in. Maybe they'll come about Christmas time. But thanks for all you guys that have sent me cards. Appreciate it. Also, if you're listening out there on WBCQ, shoot us an email to tom@w5kub.com. Let us know where you are and how you're hearing the show tonight. Another announcement, join our Facebook group. We've got a Facebook group of over 8,000 hams now. And it's called W5KUB. Actually, we changed the name of it today because it didn't have ham radio in the name. And anytime you search for ham radio, we never showed up. So we changed the name to have ham radio in it. And now I think people will probably find us a little better. So, and don't forget to check out Dave's channel. Dave, what's it called now? Dave Kessler, Ask Dave. What's it? How is it listed?
The name of the channel is youtube.com/DaveCassler, DaveCassler, no T. And I've got, by the end of the month, I'm going to hit a big milestone. I will hit 60,000 subscribers. It's coming up here real quick. I'm about 150 short right now, and I get about 1,000 new subscribers a month. So the channel continues to grow. Real happy with that. I'm getting further and further behind on doing videos. I've decided to, it's time to refocus the channel a little bit back on its roots and stop doing so many reviews and do more tutorials and so on. And Brett Glass, I'm going to find all 60,000 of my subscribers and hit them. That's for sure. I've gone up about 11,000 subscribers this past year, and hope to keep going. It's growing, moving along. Seems like most of the people who listen to the channel or watch the channel are either tech or fairly new generals, and so I try and focus my videos on them.
Well, that's great. Just right now, everybody in the chat room, if you haven't subscribed to Dave's channel, after the show, I want you to go subscribe to it. Also, I would like to ask everybody in the chat room right now, if you hadn't subscribed to W5KUB, subscribe. Now, what our problem has been, we've only got about 4,000 subscribers. What our problem has been is we've never asked for subscribers, and we never published it as a YouTube channel. We always published it as our own W5KUB.com. So that's where we preferred people coming to and getting in the chat room and so forth. But we would like to try to get our subscribers up. So hit the subscribe button. I think on the website the other day above the chat room, I put a little link there to just to subscribe to our video if you want to. So please subscribe. Same thing in our Facebook group, W5KUB Facebook group. If you're not a member of that, please subscribe to it. Jason from Ham Radio 2.0 YouTube, he's going to be back with us in January. He's kind of taken a little leave and been real busy with a lot of things, but he'll be back. Dave's back now. Katie's out tonight. Katie will be back with us next week. I don't know what we're going to do the next two shows, because the next show is Christmas Eve and the next show is New Year's Eve. I don't really feel like doing a show on those 2 days. So I'm not sure what we'll do. We may just skip it. I've made a policy of trying to keep consistency here, Dave, and never miss a show. And even when I go out of town, we'd either have a rerun running or I'd have somebody here, start to show up locally. So, but I think we may skip the next 2 weeks. I hate to do it. What do you think, Dave?
Well,
would anybody tune in on those two nights anyway?
Well, you never know. It's hard to tell sometimes. Some people, you got to think, there are a lot of people out there who don't have any place to go for Christmas, don't have family in their area or whatever. And they look for things like gatherings of hams and so on. I think just having a Christmas-oriented show on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve.
Well, somebody said do a New Year's Eve party on here. I don't know. We could have a New Year's party. I don't know. It might get a little rowdy. We might could invite people in on Skype and just open it up for the world out there. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
If people want to do it, they can do it. I can remember I was a single parent for 5 years before I married Loretta. And, Christmas was a rough time of year. All the holidays were. The kids and I did the best we could.
Well, in the chat room here, Dave down in Australia says it's a no for him because the show, our show, will hit him at noontime on Christmas Day. So
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a no good deal. Hey guys, nobody's wanting to call in, I guess, or maybe I missed a call. I haven't been looking at the phone system here, but I'll try to start watching it. There's a number up there, 712-775-7270. Dial that number, punch that little secret code in there with the pound sign, and you'll be on the show. So give Dave and me a call. So, you know, I might just skip it. You know, might skip it. Now, in February, we'll be going down to the Orlando Hamcation. So I will be out one Tuesday night there. So I don't know. Either I need to get you or Katie or Joe or somebody to come on here and maybe do a show, or I'm going to have to do a recording show because I'm going to be out of town that week.
Yeah, I'd love to get down to the Hamcation sometime and see that, down to the Huntsville Affair and so on. I will be at Quartz Fest in January, and I'm going to be at the Longmont Ham Fest in April. In May, I will be in Provo, Utah, the weekend before we head off to Dayton, and I'll be at Dayton, and planning on doing Duke City again this year, and I had hoped to do it this year, but it didn't work out. I hope to get out to Pacificon in October. That would be a lot of fun. Yeah. Things just didn't work out this year.
All
right. It's fun to go to the ham fests and meet people and talk to people. You know, it's one thing to do videos. I'll tell you what it looks like to do a video. This is what I see.
Yeah.
Right here.
Well, you know.
That's all I see.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Dave. And, you know, we've been doing, I've been going to like Hamvention for 38 years, and we've been webcasting it for 18. I used to always walk that Hamvention, every single booth, outside, inside, talk to people, look at stuff. But the last 17 years doing a webcast, you're absolutely right. You're looking through the back of that thing, and you're always trying to do that part, and you miss the Hamfest, really. And especially trying to do something live, you're always trying to keep it going, you know, live. So I don't know, but, you know, I guess it's what we wanted to do. I can't believe nobody's called a phone. I can't believe it.
It's the Christmas season. People are busy.
Yeah.
And I know I've been incredibly busy, just going crazy here. I have an assistant who's been working with me for the last couple months. She's a college student. Uh-huh. She's going back to college. But next time I'm going to try and find an assistant who can actually edit video. And I was going to teach her, but she couldn't be here long enough to, you know, really learn it and do something with it. So,
yeah,
I think maybe I can do more if I can get somebody who can edit. I had one, Kevin, for a while, but that was before I really got into the swing of all these reviews and stuff that I've been doing. And it's nice to have somebody you can just say, okay, here it is, and you know that they'll come up with a really great result.
Yeah, I've been looking for somebody that maybe is taking, you know, TV or broadcasting at college or something. Maybe come by and, you know, work some of the controls here during the show one night. But I can't really get anybody in here to do it. Hey, I'm talking to the local people here about getting us on a local TV channel. They think that the program's good enough to put on a local TV channel. But, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was contacted. You know the geosynchronous satellite that's over Europe right now? Oscar 100, I think, something like that. It's this geosynchronous one, and it's a very large bandwidth and has a lot of video channels. It's all video, basically. I'm talking to somebody over there, and they're wanting to put our show on Oscar 100 over there and run it every Tuesday night. And I said, wow. Are you sure about that? I mean, But anyway, I mean, so I don't know. You know, I said, would there be a problem with that? And they said, no, they're putting ham radio programs on it all the time over there, you know. And there are multiple channels on that Oscar 100. So, you know, you take a 2 meg bandwidth channel and, you know, you do your show, I guess. But the problem is, if we did that, it would be 2 o'clock in the morning over there. Probably nobody's going to be watching it, so. And you can't see it, yeah. You can't see it over here. It touches the very east coast of Brazil, and it goes all the way over to, I don't know, past China. So it's got a pretty good coverage, you know, that side of the earth there.
Well, that'd be, it'd still be kind of fun to do, and they get some real-time feedback. Now, let's see, that would be, it's 3:21 UTC right now, so in that part of the country, that'd make the show very early in the morning.
Yeah, well, I guess there's probably 7 or 8 time zones, actually, it could see. You know, 0200, that's 2 o'clock in the morning down the UTC line here. So through England, it'd be 2 in the morning. For instance, in the Indian area where we were tonight, it would be about 8 in the morning. So it would cover several time zones. I don't know. You know, I asked about the music and stuff. We could actually put the show on without any of the pre-music or that opening. But I don't know. It's just another thing to think about. I know if I try doing that in the U.S. on a satellite, I'd probably get yelled at, you know. Although the satellite would only be up there for about 8 minutes, you know, and then, you know, it'd be gone. But this sucker is geosynchronous, man. It's there all the time, man, broadcasting just like HBO, you know. And it's a wide bandwidth. I think it's like 17 or 20 megahertz wide. And
that's way more than you need for video.
Oh, yeah.
You can do 4K video on that.
Well, yeah, they're doing 4K on it in some places on it. All right.
Well, I'm looking at the feedback to my comment about wanting to get video editor, and somebody says you know you got to pay for that, and I'm going, yeah, I know, but I can't pay more than I make from YouTube, which isn't that much. That's why I'm looking for a high school or a college student. Who can work, maybe 10 hours a week.
Hey, you make them an intern and you don't pay them, see? They get experience.
I can offer them 10 hours a week at $15 an hour.
Oh, wow.
That would be really good pay for somebody in high school or a college student.
Yeah.
That'd be really bad pay for a real video editor.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm willing to take somebody and teach them if they'll stay around a while. Now, K5ARN is saying another option is not to edit at all, which, of course, the live streams don't get edited except in real time. Yeah.
I do very little editing myself. Like, now, when this show's over, I'll edit out 30 minutes of music, basically, and we'll load that. I mean, we'll edit that out of YouTube. So the music basically goes away, and when people go to the video, it starts at the show. I will download the audio only from that, and then I'll upload that audio only to our podcast carriers. We'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've never monetized our show at all because I play music on there, and, of course, when you play music, you can't monetize anything. And I figure, you know, hey, if I did monetize it, I'd probably make about 3 or 4 cents per week, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I do monetize my channel, which allows me to pay an intern a little bit and buy some new pieces of equipment. I just got this this tripod here from
looks like an alien or something from Mars, man.
Yeah, it's a Joby, and it'll wrap around anything, and it's just perfect for doing live streams and things like that. Uh-huh. So it's nice to be able to get
piece of equipment from time to time. The next piece of equipment I want to get, every time I save up the money for it, though, I end up needing it for something else. I want to get a spectrum analyzer, you know, one from Regal. I've got the oscilloscope, I've got a signal generator. It'd be nice to have a spectrum analyzer to use for, you know, the training videos and stuff. Mm-hmm. But they run around $1,000, and every time I get that much in, something happens and poof, it goes away.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, as mentioned, we're going to be down at Hamcation at Orlando. I think we will put a Hamcation stream up on Saturday, not on Friday. And what our plan may be is to, because I can't carry all this stuff down here, it's just too much. We're not going to have a booth or anything. But I'm thinking I could take cameras down and wireless mics, and we can get interviews and show everything. And I can capture all that on Friday and then just run it solid on Saturday. And a chat room will be open, and people can join in the chat room. And you'll be seeing Hamcation probably Saturday. So we'll probably have a stream up all day Saturday from Hamcation.
Mm-hmm. That'll be nice.
Well, I never heard anybody call a phone line, so maybe the phone line got, maybe it had a tree limb fall across it or something. I don't know.
You've been having some wild weather back there. We've been watching on the news.
We had some pretty heavy rain yesterday. Torrential rains yesterday, but we missed the wind and stuff. I think there were 28 tornadoes in the three states adjacent to us here. Wow. Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, right below us there. And you know, we're only 10 miles from Mississippi here. I mean, we're down close to the state. So I think there were 28 tornadoes.
Whew.
All right, well, yeah. I'll tell you what, Dave, it is 9:28 on my clock here. I think we'll go ahead and end the show here. That might give me some time to get some dinner tonight. I didn't have anything to eat tonight, man.
Sounds good. Well, it's really good to be back.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, and it was very, very interesting talking to those good folks in Bhutan who are bringing us that de-expedition, and I wish them the very best of luck. I'll have to listen around for them and see if I can hear them. I doubt my vertical is going to
probably the best way to contact him is going to be on FT8, I'm guessing.
Yeah. And he's using that de-expedition mode of FT8, I would assume.
I don't know what that means.
Well, there's two modes for FT8, your normal contacts, and then they have a contest/de-expedition mode.
Well, what difference is it? What's it?
They're actually quite different. They operate very similarly, but for the DX station or for the de-expedition, they're actually working several contacts at once, it allows for a very high rate of contacts using FT8, and it allows lots of people to work the de-expedition using that special mode.
Yeah. I'll read up on that.
Here it is. Brett has got the name of it, Fox and Hound mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Dave, thank you so much, man. Glad to have you back. We'll see you next week.
All righty, 73.
All right, 73 to you. All right, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in and watching and being with us tonight. We enjoyed having you. Sorry about the YouTube crash. Whatever happened, I have no idea. We're going to see what we can do in here to splice the show back together. And we'll try to put it all together to make it one continuous show. Don't know what it's going to take. Merry Christmas, everybody. I think we'll skip next week. New Year's Eve, I don't know, might do a New Year's Eve party. Nothing scheduled, but bring the webcast up, bring the phone lines up, bring Skype up. We may do a New Year's Eve party, so, but we'll not be on here next week. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy New Year to everybody, and we will see you later. Thanks a lot for joining the show. Be sure to join the Facebook page, W5KUB, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, W5KUB. So send me through, everybody, and we will see you later.
So you're saying I can ask this cat any question?
The cat is connected to the computer. You just type in the question, it will read his mind. There the answer comes.
You're the man! I've been looking for this for weeks.